I'm Tom Lounges. Thank you for joining us here on Lakeshore Public Radio in the Midwest Beat program. Coming up a little later in today's show, I'll be closing things out with iconic roots rocker Dave Alvin. We first met Dave with the Blasters, and of course, he's going to be coming to the Memorial Opera House on October 28th with Jimmy Dale Gilmore. I'm going to be featuring songs that have both of those guys in it, as well as a classic from Dave Alvin's solo career. That's coming up a little later. Up next, we're going to have the amazingly talented Mindy Hebert. She's going to return to the Midwest Beat to chat with us and update us. She was on about a year or so ago, right before the holidays. And she's coming to town October 21st at Lowe's Hotel's Montrose Room in Chicago. But before we get to Mindy Hebert, let's do Today in Music History. Going back in time on this particular day, October 20th, in 1955, Elvis Presley and Bill Haley and his Comets both appeared on a double bill at Brooklyn High School Auditorium in Cleveland. 1960, move it up 5 years, Roy Orbison hit number one. It was the first of 33 hits for Roy Orbison. The song was Only the Lonely, and it had been turned down by both the Everly Brothers and Elvis Presley. He was trying to shop the song around. Nobody wanted it, so he said, the heck with him. I'll record it myself. And I'll bet he was saying, told you so, for a long time after that to both those acts. And on this day, 1962, timing it in with something seasonal, Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kicker 5 started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with the Monster Mash. It hit number three in the U.K. 11 years later. The BBC had banned it because they deemed the Monster Mash offensive. So you decide, let's play it as we get into the first spin for this Halloween season. Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kicker 5 on Lakeshore Public Radio in the Midwest Beat program.
An eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent
you. Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash.
Easy, Igor. You impetuous young boy.
Mash. Good.
Monster mash. Monster mash. Monster mash.
Before everybody gets tired of hearing that song, that we busted out of the box, that, of course, Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kicker 5. It was on this day in 1962, October 20th, 1962, that song hit number one on the U.S. singles chart. And it took 11 years, 1973, before it finally cracked in England because the BBC had banned that song, saying it was offensive. I don't get it. Anyway, celebrating Halloween coming up with Bobby Boris Pickett. And again, thank you to my earlier guest, Alexis J. Roston. Coming up in just a little while, we've got Dave Alvin joining us, great American roots rocker. But right now, we've got the young lady that we're going to be having on the show here, Mindy Hebert. But first, let's play the new single, Vinyl. To spin vinyl. I love it that we're paying tribute to it on that song there. It's off the East West Sessions, Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers. Speaking of Halloween, they're going to be performing this weekend, October 21st at Lowe's Hotel in the Montrose Room here in Chicago. It's been a while. It's been a little over a year since we had Mindy on the show last time. Mindy, are you with us?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, man.
Good to be back.
I'm excited about this record. Last time we talked, you had just did the live EP, I think it was, with the Bone Shakers.
Oh, yeah.
You were talking about how excited you were to work with them, and now here it is. The album's done. You're on tour. You've been with these guys now since, I think, late 2015. How did this all come together? I mean, you have played with all these great talents. You were on American Idol. You played with Aerosmith. But now you are really coming to fruition, I guess you would say, with this vibrant sound.
Boy, I can't say it any better than you. I love that. I'm bringing you everywhere. You know what? We formed as a band, you know, kind of, I don't know, and we're all friends, you know? So it kind of happened in this organic way. I've known Randy Jacobs since we both moved to LA about the same time in the 90s, and we landed in a rock band together. And, you know, once you see this guy do a backflip off the stage into the audience mid-guitar solo, you know, I'm thinking to myself, ooh, I should be friends with that guy. And cut to many years later, and here we are. You know, we joined forces as Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers, his band of many, many years being the Bone Shakers.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of Was Not Was and Bonnie Raitt's band. I mean, Bonnie Raitt named the Bone Shakers. That's just the coolest bit of information I ever thought came across my plate. She's like, you guys are bone shaking.
Wow.
So, yeah, we did the live record, and we were just crazy enough. It was February in 2015. It was our first official show together that we recorded it, because I just said to my friend, hey, you're here. Just roll tape. This band is nuts, and it's just gonna blow your mind. And who knows? You know, we'll at least have a cool reference of what this band is. And yeah, it became our live record because it was magic. And so we finally went in to do our first studio record. I mean, we've been on the road for 2.5 years together, and it's just been monumental. And this record is special. I mean, we did it in 5 days at East West Studios in Hollywood, very iconic studio.
Kevin Shirley.
Kevin Shirley.
Wow.
Woo. Yeah. Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know who Kevin Shirley is, he's kind of a rock god.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I let Joe Perry and his wife, Billy, know that we did the record and I wanted them to listen to it. And they came back and were just like, we had a great time working with Kevin Shirley. And Neil Sean, the same thing. I sent him the record and he goes, oh, I loved working with Kevin Shirley. So, I mean, you know, here's this guy who's worked with Journey and Aerosmith. He did Nine Lives. He did the Black Crowes. He's done all Joe Bonamassa's CDs. I thought he was the guy to bring this vision of this band that has so much energy and mojo and abandon, you know, to bring the idea of this band to a record and what it really sounds like on a record, you know?
Right. And let's not forget, Lenny did a little band called Led Zeppelin at some point.
That little band.
Oh. 5 days. I can't believe this whole record was made in 5 days. It's got an organic live feel. Was there an overdubbing?
There were a few overdubs because we can't sing the background parts and sing the lead parts. But when we did go in to do backgrounds, we'd go in as a gang. So, you know, Third would go in with a tambourine in his hand, and I'd go in and, you know, and clap, and, you know, Rodney go in and do a B3 pass because he can't play every keyboard at once.
Right.
And, you know, so any overdubs that were done again as a band. We didn't send anyone in on their own. It was all, you know, kind of a beautiful band experience, as it should be.
Mm-hmm. I love the lyrics in that song. In your groove, like a needle on vinyl and spinning like an old soul record. And I'm like, wow, I'm loving this. I love it for the lyrics alone. Then you add the groove to it and it's a hit. How has Vinyl been doing? I know you've had it at radio, AAA, Americana here at NPR. How's it doing for you?
You know what? Vinyl's been amazing. And it's been near the top of the charts in all the Roots Music reports, radio reports. And it's funny, as people were spinning song Vinyl, they also started spinning Pretty Good for a Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So as we thought, you know, oh, the single will be Vinyl. I mean, it's a shoo-in. It's about vinyl records, you know? And people just started playing a couple songs off the record. So Vinyl's doing great. And Pretty Good for a Girl, which is fourth track on the CD, kind of a woman power song that Joe Bonamassa's sitting in on,
right,
has been climbing up too. And people have been really loving that song, which I love. I love the woman power, you know?
Right, right. Well, let's play that for the listeners. Let's do that now. We're going to have Mindy join us on the other side. We're going to talk about a special project that is tied to this song, Pretty Good for a Girl, and here she is.
Trying to play it just like a man. like a girl, fight like a girl, play like a girl. Damn right, you know, that's for sure. And if there's one thing that I know, I'm pretty tired of hearing,
that's pretty good for a girl.
He said, as he pointed right at me, she's not playing, no, she couldn't be. And I respectfully disagree. I got education, appreciation, imagination. I even got a nomination. I'm getting busy, taking over the world. And then someone else said,
that's pretty good for a girl. We'll be right back.
I can say listening to that. Pretty good for a girl. That is my guest, Mindy Hebert, along with Joe Bonamassa and with the Bone Shakers backing her up there. And there is a single version of that, but I really like, and I'm blessed here at NPR that we can play the full versions of these songs. You don't have to trim them down the way the artist wants to hear them. And Mindy, what a great song.
Thank you. Yeah, all 7 minutes, I was like, oh, yeah, this did become an epic journey, you know?
But, right.
Thank you for playing the whole thing because, you know, we had a blast doing it in the studio. Joe came in and just hung with us and, you know, did the whole song with us. It wasn't like he just came in and played a solo in the dead of night and no one knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a good time being a band and bringing him in to be a special guest, and he just killed it. Yeah. Raised the level for me, you know, got a solo back and forth.
You guys musically match up so well. I've had a chance to interview Joe on the show a few times and see him in concert. And of course, I'm familiar with your music. And it just seems like a natural meeting of the talents. I mean, you play off each other. It's just a wonderful hybrid.
You know, I've never played with him before. We've met in different situations and, you know, couldn't be a nicer guy. And I've known all the guys that have played in his band over the years. But yeah, thank you for saying that. And I think, you know, it was a great coming together of forces. And, you know, you try and choose people who you have some, you know, obviously you have a huge amount of respect for, but that you think will fit into your music. You know, it's not a Joe Bonamassa record. It's not a, you know, a Fantastic Negrito record he's had into. It's my record. And so, you know, what can they do that fits in with Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers, you know?
Right, right. We're going to talk about the video in just a second, not to get off the song, but you have released, I think it's 7 albums prior to this. Different sounds, different styles. You can hear the evolution of your music. Is this the thing that you're going to stay with? Is this band going to stay together, or is this just a side project for a while? What's the game plan?
No, the game plan is to stay together. I have to say, you have to go with what inspires you, and this just inspires me every night. And it inspires the guys too. It really is a labor of love, you know. And you know, we travel around and we do crazy stuff, and then we stand on the stage and we go, all of that was for this, and let's just soak it in, because we know that this kind of band doesn't happen every day.
Mm-hmm.
We know that these kind of players don't come together, you know, every week and play. That this is special. And that happened in certain instances with certain bands that became famous and did great music. But this is special, and I would like to do this as long as they'll do it with me. And we're all having such a blast, so let's make this last.
I agree. There's so few and far between bands that are as eclectic and free-spirited and clearly passionate about the music and what you guys are doing together. I mean, a few come to mind, like Little Feat, perhaps, Neville Brothers, the early days, that just have that magic. And this album has that magic.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's an album that I wrote over 50 songs for. And I mean, I pared it down. I brought about 26 into the band as a whole. And we wrote a few together, a few of those together. And, you know, we just kind of went through in a few days of rehearsal and said, okay, we like this one. Or the band can create something with this one. Like, it just lets us run free, you know. And we really chose songs and wrote songs that we thought captured that abandon of this particular group, you know. Like, my drummer's just off doing all kinds of crazy stuff and, you know, having fun. How do you showcase that in a song? How do you make the right, you know, the right material for a band like this that can do a lot of different things? But I really wanted a cohesive, fun, powerful, you know, record that spoke to me.
Mm-hmm. Given the musicality and the abilities of these players you've surrounded yourself with, what's it like on stage at night? I mean, obviously, I don't think you would be sticking to what we hear on the record. It just lends itself to the freedom of exploration and innovation and jamming. I mean, is there a lot of that that goes on?
Well, you're going to see in a couple nights here. But there is definitely exploration, and there is definitely experimentation, and everyone watches everyone. Everyone listens to everyone, and it's a blast. I mean, there are the parts from the record, and then there's what comes out of different nights on stage that something will happen. Might be a mistake, and we look at each other and go, okay, that was cool. We keep that. And so as the music has developed since we made the record only a few months ago, it's fun that some of the live versions are taking on a life of their own. And that's what live music's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's it's supposed to morph and change and have a life of its own.
Now, the song we just played, Pretty Good for a Girl, over the years, I've been doing this 40 years, and I've interviewed Susie Quattro and Joan Jett and Nancy Wilson and all these amazing female musicians, and I've heard that from so many people. I'll say, what's the one thing that, you know, that's the downside? It's like they always say, well, you're pretty good for a girl. Did you have that same thing growing up?
Well, you know, growing up, I never thought twice about it. I mean, I was really lucky to be around people that just, you know, always said you can do whatever you want to do and be whatever you want to be. Just go do it. You know, go work for it. But, you know, once I got out into the real world, I realized, oh, there are color lines. Oh, there are, you know, gender lines. So, you know, once you get said, oh, you're pretty good for a girl, you know, I just thought, hey, wait a minute. You know, so that was what kind of inspired the song. I thought, you know, I think someone needs to write this song, right?
Right.
I mean, we got to get that out there. I mean, it's funny, but it's something that people should be aware of that they're saying and kind of the connotation of how it comes across. But, you know, as I was writing the song and the band was playing it, it just became this powerful thing, kind of this mantra and this motivation, like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty good for a girl. And so, yeah, we took it a little far, probably, but I built a whole website that features women, prettygoodforagirl.net, and we feature all these women that are doing amazing things, and I'm even asking, we're doing a promotion to make a video for the song, because it's just so fun, and I want to lift up other women. I think it starts with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not slapping anyone's wrist. I think we've got to lift each other up. And so I wanted to make a music video for Pretty Good for a Girl and have all these women just doing what they do, you know, action shots of someone surfing the biggest wave or saving someone's life in a hospital or, you know, playing an instrument and have that behind our music. So we're doing a promotion that on the website you can send in, you know, 20, 30 seconds of you in action if you're a woman doing something awesome, and we'll put you into the music video, and I think that'll be the most awesome music video ever.
Mm-hmm. You're doing a campaign as well where you're giving away VIP show tickets and backstage meet and greet and things like that to some of the women that submit these videos. How are you determining? Are you part of a panel of judges? I mean, how does this work?
You know, we kind of look over the stuff and ask, you know, the people in the area and get submissions from each area. And no, it's pretty grassroots. It's kind of me and the guys look and go, you know what? That's pretty cool. Me and my manager, who's also a really awesome woman, she manages George Benson and has for 20-something years. So it's kind of fun to look into people's histories. And, boy, I've just become immersed in all these women that are pretty powerful and pretty awesome in their communities. And so that's fun. We get them backstage and meet them. And I just think it's an awesome thing for me. You know, I'm inspired. So hopefully more people than me are inspired. And, you know, I'd love to be part of any solution rather than sitting back and going, I wish they wouldn't say pretty good for a girl.
Right, right. What's the feedback been on these, on the different women you've talked to since this started? It seems to have taken on, as you said, a life of its own. What kind of responses are you getting from females? Are they saying, well, it's about time someone did this? Or what's the response been?
You know, the first time we played the song live, we just got a bunch of cheers and hoots and hollers and yeah, you know, from the audience. And it was definitely markedly the song that got all of that. People were just out of their seats and talking to us and, you know, clapping. And it was really fun. And so we've actually, we've made merchandise. We made T-shirts and bracelets that say pretty good for a girl and little temporary tattoos, and people have just gotten into it. You know, I had a girl last night at our concert say, you know what, I drive a big green Harley and it's 700 pounds and I'm going to get on it in my pink Pretty Good for a Girl t-shirt. And when those guys ask me if this is my husband's bike, I'm going to go, nope. I'm pretty good for a girl. This is my bike. And that was really cool.
Wow. Hey, how much of this material are you going to be performing in the live show? There's 11 tracks on the East-West Sessions. And, of course, as I mentioned, you've got 7 solo albums that are remarkable, too. How do you fit it in, and what are you playing off the album on stage?
It's so hard to choose what you don't play on a new record because, you know, you record a new record and you want to play absolutely every song, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was done as a band, and the band is on tour. We all know them all. So it was really hard to choose. But, you know, you've only got so much time, and you want to get in your old hits. I've had 10 number one hits at jazz radio, and, you know, we got to get in some of those, too. So we've been doing about 6 of the new songs. We've been doing Vinyl, Play to Win, Not That Kind of Girl, which is an instrumental, doing... Had to Learn the Hard Way. What else are we doing? We're doing, we're doing tons of them. Oh, my gosh. It's really fun.
Well, are you doing Don't Cry No More?
We've only, I don't think we ended up playing that live. We rehearsed it to play it live one night and then didn't end up doing it. And the same, She Don't Cry No More and Done Me Wrong. We haven't done yet live, so we're kind of waiting on those because those are slower paced. We've kind of been going with the energy, but we'll add those in at some point. Love those songs.
Now, the She Don't Cry No More, that's interesting. It's got a connection here to NPR because, of course, Fantastic Negrato won the Tiny Desk Contest 2 years ago. And that, of course, is a big deal here on NPR and PBS. And, of course, he's a Grammy winner. How did you come to recruit him? And is that a song he brought to you?
You know, Fantastic Negrato is this guy who kind of came out of nowhere in a puff of smoke to me. One of my friends, he lived next door to me for years. He started managing him. And this was before his record came out. And he just, you know, we're sitting at lunch one day. He's like, I want you to listen to this artist I'm managing. He's cool. I think you'll like him. And I did like him. I was blown away. I was like, this guy's great. I want to write with him for the new record. I really like his whole feel and everything. And we happened to be up in Oakland playing. So he hooked us up. And I spent a day with him in his studio up in Oakland. And, I mean, the studio is the size of, you know, someone's kitchen. And, you know, it's just all cool and vibey, but, you know, this small little place. We had a blast. We went out to lunch. We wrote some music together. We talked about music, got to know each other. He's just a really interesting guy, you know, with a lot to say. And he was playing me one of his songs that he almost recorded for his Back to Oakland record, which won the Grammy for Best Contemporary Blues Album last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't end up recording it. It was for a woman who was like a mother figure to him. And she was, you know, going through a lot. And she passed away. And so he wrote the song, She Don't Cry No More, because she's not here anymore. She's in a happier place. But he said he couldn't bring himself to record it, because it was too personal to him. He didn't want to play it every night. It was too much. And when he played it to me, I just thought, oh my gosh, the song is just—it just speaks to me. It makes me feel. That's what music's supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And made me feel, and it was just amazing. So I said, can I just kind of play over it and see, you know? Sure. So he took off his vocals, and we put, you know, put a sax on it. I just kind of started playing. And we recorded a track to it in his little studio, and I brought it to the band, and, you know, they loved it, too. It was just not the song I wrote. It's the song he wrote.
Right.
But it sure is great. And we went in, you know, to do the track, and I couldn't do any better than that little recording in that little room. And so I called him up. I was like, can I have that sax track from what we did in your little studio? So that's actually the demo that I just laid down, just like, can I try to play over this song?
Wow.
But it had all the vibe and belief, you know, mm-hmm. from just listening to it.
Well, since that's not one you're going to be playing, let's play it for the listeners now. Is that all right?
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely. I love it.
This is She Don't Cry No More. We'll be back with Mindy after this.
Mm-hmm. She don't ride, she don't ride no more. She don't ride, she don't ride, she don't ride no more. She don't ride, don't ride, she don't ride no more. She don't ride, she don't ride, she don't ride no more.
Cry No More. That is a different kind of song. It's got a lot of hauntingness to it, a lot of darkness to it, but yet it's, I don't know, it's kind of freeing. My guest is Mindy Hebert. It's on her new album, which is recorded with the Bone Shakers. Gotta love that name for a band. East West Sessions is the album, and that featured Fantastic Negrito, who is a Grammy winner from this past year, and a winner of the Tiny Desk Contest here on NPR. Mindy, I gotta say, I love that song, too. There's not a bad track on this album.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. I don't like filler. I like every song to mean something and every song to make me feel something. And this one was definitely that, just heart-wrenching. You feel it. It gives me joy and it gives me pain. It gives me kind of all of that. But yeah, I just love it. So I'm glad you're digging it.
Tomorrow you're going to be here in Chicago at the Lowe's Hotel. You're playing the Montrose Room, which is pretty small. It's a small, intimate venue. Just a couple hundred can fit in there, as far as I remember. Why such a small room? You have such a big name and obviously a very big sound, and this album is doing well. And usually you play the larger theaters when you come here.
Yeah, and we will be back. We will be back very soon. I can't tell the date of when we'll be back until after Saturday night.
Okay.
But trust me, we will be back playing a larger place, definitely. And that won't stop. We love Chicago, and I'm going to be there as often as they let me. We figured play a little place. We love the Montrose Room. It's a cool vibe, and we'll have a good time. It's always a very different show when you're in that intimate of a setting, mm-hmm. that you can really, kind of look people in the eye and sing them a song and, feel that energy from the stage. Or as I say, if you're in the first couple rows, you're in the splash zone. we're always up there running around, so we're sweating and
right.
It's flying from the horn and everything. You have to be careful in those first couple rows, but I recommend them.
This album has a real Southern feel. It reminds me of stuff you might have heard coming out of like Royal Studios or Stax or Muscle Shoals. I mean, it's got that kind of earthiness, almost a New Orleans kind of feel without sounding New Orleans. More so than anything you've ever done. The chemistry of these musicians is what makes this album happen. Is everybody from the album playing on the live shows? Obviously, yeah. Joe isn't there. Or...
No, Joe and Fantastic Negrito aren't there. He is not here this weekend, but he joins us every once in a while. But the rest of the band is exactly what's on the record. Hmm. And it's pretty amazing to hear these songs and let them expand live, you know, because it's all of us singing it all. You know, it's not a bunch of tracks like a pop band that, you know, you're playing to or anything. It's just all us all the time. And it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of dirt. It's a lot of grit. It's a lot of great playing. But I love that you said that about it, that it's got that feel like it's from the South. I mean, I grew up in St. Petersburg, Florida, and my dad was recording in Memphis. He was a musician. Then I grew up on the road with his band. And, you know, that sound is, it's incredible.
It's in your DNA, obviously.
It is, and I keep talking to Boo from Royal Studios, Boo Mitchell, down there about recording at his studio. We've been friends for a long time, and so who knows, maybe the next Bone Shakers record will be made down in Memphis, but I love that vibe, but I really wanted to get that vibe in the studio and get the right equipment and get the right, you know, personnel. I think Kevin Shirley added a lot to it, too, to get just a very real vibe, something that I felt like everyone could feel like they were sitting in the room with us as we recorded it. Mm-hmm. I wanted that.
Now, you can keep up with you online at your website, which is MindyAbear.com, correct?
Yep, MindyAbear.
And then also...
Everything's there, and Facebook and Twitter, of course.
Of course. Everybody's tweeting today, including our illustrious leader, but so we won't even go there. Pretty good for a girl.net is where the young ladies that are listening, or older ladies, can submit little clips of what they do, if they're exceptional at what they do, and they are pretty good for girls. They can showcase that with you and maybe make it into a video. Is there anything
absolutely
that we have not talked about that you want to let people know?
No, I think it's so much fun to hear these songs on the radio. Thank you for playing them.
And, oh, we'll,
you know,
keep playing them.
It's fun to make music in our little cave and, you know, have fun as a band and then, you know, watch it go to the world. So I appreciate you getting it out there to your listeners, who are all very cool. I mean, obviously, Chicago is a music town. It's a blues town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have immense respect for being in Chicago and all the listeners in Chicago. So, you know, come down to the show, cheer us on, and
be ready to be packed in like sardines, because it's a small room and you'll be in the, what did you call it?
It's the splash zone.
The splash zone.
Tamu. Yeah.
All right. And that's tomorrow. Lowe's Hotel Montrose Room. That is tomorrow in Chicago. Keep up with Mindy online. Let's close out with another song from the album. What's one we haven't played that you'd like the listeners to hear as we say goodbye?
Let's see. I think you should go with Had to Learn the Hard Way.
All right. Had to Learn the Hard Way, which is track number 8 out of 11 on this great album. And again, it's just recently been released. Check it out. This is from the East West Sessions. Mindy, thank you for joining us. And hopefully we'll get a chance to see you again real soon and have you back on the show.
Hey, as always, Tom, thank you for the love. And always great to be on your show. I appreciate it.
Travel safe. We'll see you tomorrow. Montrose Room.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Nobody said that life would be easy, but I wake up being just what I wanna be. Everybody says that it's a jungle out there, but I've kept my nose down, my hands in the air. Knock, knock, is anybody home? There've been so many times I felt so all alone. Every day and night, night and day, year round, I got this far and I'm holding my ground. You wanna know where I've been? Yeah, it's about time. But
10 no's for one yes, but I'm still on fire. It's a long way up, but coming down ain't far. I did it my way, but I left a few scars. I got bumps, bruises, cuts, and scrapes. You know I own them all because they're all my mistakes. I beat the pavement, I hit the street. It keeps me on my toes, it knocks me off my feet. You wanna know where I've been? Got nothing to hide. It's been a long, hard road. I'll lay it all on the line. Oh, hey! You know that I made every mistake, and at a certain point I thought I would break. But I'm out of my own, and I had to learn the hard way. Hey! You know there are all kind of ways to be right, and I'm not the one to pick a fight. You can cast the first stone, but I had to learn the hard way.
Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers, and they're going to be here in Chicago at the Montrose Room at Lowe's Hotel. And again, that's tomorrow, October 21st. And that is off her latest album, The East West Sessions, recorded with the incredible Kevin Shirley at the East West Studios. Thank you for listening, supporting Public Radio. I'm Lounges. I'm out of here. Adios.
I love to play the saxophone. Take it with me wherever I roam, and the sound of the saxophone always brings me home.
She can play that saxophone.
I keep it with me every day, 'cause there's a song in my heart that I've got to play, and I feel it down deep in my soul. I love my saxophone.
Love that saxophone, man.
You run around or you can jump off the stage, and I know with the saxophone that that's okay. You can sit, you can dance, you can rock, or you can stand and sway.
Oh, baby.
Now what I do is press the first key down, take a deep breath and a good look around, and I blow in the horn and it makes a big, big sound.
Great.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning and the day seems long.
when I can hum a little tune and I can play that song, and I know that my saxophone makes me feel I belong.
Well, well.
Doesn't matter if you're big or small, blonde or brunette, short or tall, you can play the saxophone all day, 'cause it's made for all. Wherever I roam, and the sound of the saxophone always brings me home.
Bring home.
The sound of the saxophone always brings me home. Oh, the sound of the saxophone, it brings me home.